the Toronto Blue Jays completely, and I mean completely, severed ties with Roberto Alomar over the weekend. The Hall of Fame banner that hangs alongside the World Series championship banners and the division championship banners of more recent years, the wild card one of 2016 as well, has come down. When we return to the Rogers Center, Roberto's name will not be on the level of excellence, which is, of course, around the facade splitting the third and fourth decks. And he will no longer be involved with the organization on any front. Major League Baseball had him under a consulting contract for baseball in his native Puerto Rico. That, too, has been severed. This after, much earlier this year, someone came forward with a sexual harassment allegation or a series of sexual harassment allegations against Roberto dating back to 2014. A third party, a legal firm, conducted a thorough investigation, reported its findings to the Blue Jays and to Major League Baseball, and the decisions off of that report were made. My question, and we don't know the details, and it isn't necessarily our right to know the details, but a lot of people are saying, well, how can we be sure that Roberto deserves this fate? We don't know what's alleged, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I would completely flip the script on that question and ask this. I think this is the more appropriate question. For a baseball team like the Blue Jays to walk away from arguably its greatest ever player, and for Major League Baseball to walk away from a Hall of Famer, I have to ask, how bad could it possibly have been? What were these allegations? And I think that that's the question here. It must have been awful for both the Blue Jays and Major League Baseball to say, you got to go on the ineligible list. We can't have this relationship anymore.
Correct. And I, as certainly someone who works for MLB Network and is part of the larger MLB family, I put my trust and my faith in the process that's set forward and the commitment that MLB has made to being responsible in this regard, responsible, I think, broadly to the people that are in the sport about the conduct of its employees and everybody within the MLB family. And that includes, it's a broad statement because there have been so many important conversations, Scott and Mike, in the last year about how anybody in the baseball family needs to represent the sport, the treatment of media members. We think back to the Jared Porter situation earlier this year. There are a lot of very, very important safeguards now put in place. And importantly, channels for people who have been victims of offenses by those in the baseball organizations to come forward and report their experiences confidentially. And this was done in a confidential manner. And in fact, a statement made by the victim in this case that the victim does not wish to pursue any further action. This was simply a desire to bring that allegation forward, to substantiate it, to inform MLB and the Blue Jays about what transpired, and then put her faith in the process going forward. She's clearly not looking for publicity. In fact, it is quite the opposite. She just wanted the appropriate outcome to be handed down. And I put my faith, again, I know zero specifics of the allegations. And to your point, I don't need to. I do have complete faith in the way that baseball is handling these allegations now. And so I put it on faith that this was handled appropriately and that the decision made by MLB and the Jays was the right one.
What do you think about the Hall of Fame not leaving Alomar in and not discussing it, not talking about it, just a statement that he's not going to get removed?
Well, Mike, so as I read that statement from Chairman Clark regarding the Hall of Fame, I suppose I didn't necessarily have the same conclusion that it is that his status will never be reevaluated. To me, and I'm a Hall of Fame voter. To me, if you are on the ineligible list, if we're going to look at it through that narrow distinction of what it means to be on the ineligible list, that is principally the procedural reason why Pete Rose has never appeared on the Hall of Fame ballot. He is on the ineligible list, therefore he is not eligible to be considered for the Hall of Fame. I, from my perspective as a Hall of Fame voter, I would like them to really take a serious look at this about if he should still deserve to be enshrined if he is now on the ineligible list. If the Hall is going to be consistent with respect to how they regard individuals who are on the ineligible list for any number of reasons, whether it be a temporary or a lifetime distinction that they're on the ineligible list for, to me, it is something that the Hall of Fame, we as the baseball writers, need to examine. And if the BBWA looks at it, pulls the membership, and comes forward with a recommendation, will the Hall of Fame listen to it? That is something that I, as a member of the writing body, am thinking about. And it's to me, Mike, I look at it two ways. There's the consistency of what it means to have a player on the ineligible list, and also our responsibility to uphold the standards of the Hall of Fame and the ballots that we have. And if new information came to light that would materially change the way you view a candidate, then I would like for us to have the chance to render a separate decision based on as much as we can ascertain about what they're able to share with us, and then make the best decision that we can.